Come on.
Hi guys, fantastic to be here at the Sweaty Temple, as I call it, because I love Pentecostal worship. So it's great. There's too many churches in Wales where raising your hands in worship means shoot me. So it's great to be here. Fantastic. Love a bit of Pentecostal praise. Hope you had a great Christmas, a great New Year. Hope you had everything that you wanted for Christmas. My mother bought me the most random present ever, right? I'm not joking. My mother's like an amazing Christian woman. And she bought me this just random bar of chocolate that I actually couldn't believe what she bought me. It was called Heaven. Have you seen a bar of heaven? And you open the back, and I found this little thing on the back, and it says, lift here to go to heaven. I mean, I've got to be honest, I opened it, and it was all right, like, but if I got an eternity of that, I'm going to feel slightly ripped off. But that's just a total aside, but I hope you had, you know, something slightly better than heavenly chocolate. But it's great to be here. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Di. Di Hankey, it's a real name. It's on the book, so, you know, there we are. Couldn't lie about that. I'm not from Cardiff anymore. I was from Cardiff until about a year ago when I went back to my hometown of Pontypool, which is up near the end of the world, really, up near Big Pit that way. And I planted a church up there. I'm a husband of one wife, and I have two children and a 7-stone dog. And it's great to be here. Straight up, he's a freak of nature, but I love him. Although I went out earlier, true story, I went out about 5 o'clock to pray for the church service before I came, and he chased a cat, and I totally ruined my prayer time. So he's in a doghouse at the moment. Sorry. Anyway, here we go. So I was seeking God. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to speak on to all the youth and all the other people who are young at heart in City Temple tonight? And I'm going to preach you from the book of the OT Ninja, as I call him, the Old Testament Ninja. His name is Haggai. You might have heard of Haggai, but if you say it with a Japanese accent, Haggai, it just sounds like a full-on, like, martial arts thing. So imagine sort of like a bit of Haggai. Like, that's what we're preaching from tonight. And when was the last time you heard a sermon from Haggai? Exactly. No one ever preaches on Haggai because they can't find the jolly book. But I found him, and because I didn't want it to go away again, I put my ribbon in there. So he's in there. He's one of the Old Testament prophets. Now, I love the name Haggai because it's one of those words where, like, as you say, it sounds like a ninja. And I've always wanted to do this. If any of you young people have got the guts to do this, this has nothing to do with the sermon, by the way. So I'm on a bit of a rant because I'm a bit nervous, and sometimes it helps just to be a bit of a freak. So, like, if, you know, you're in that situation and somebody's, like, sort of offered you out, or they're causing a bit of trouble, this is my challenge to you. I've always wanted to do this, and I've never done it. They're saying, oh, do you want a bit of this? Look at them and just go, Haggai! In their face, and see what they do. Because I don't reckon there's many men or women would stick around if you screamed Haggai in their face. Because they wouldn't know what it was that you said. And if they're still standing there, and they're like, what's that about? And they get even more angry, run like your feet are on fire. That's all I'm saying. All right. So that's nothing to do with the sermon. Matt's given me half hour. I've wasted 10 minutes already just making jokes about Haggai. But let me tell you a bit of, let me just give you a backdrop to Haggai, right? Because Haggai is his Old Testament dude, and nobody knows anything about him. If I said to you, tell me about Haggai, you'd be like, I don't know. Exactly. So let me tell you what's happened with Haggai. Haggai is written, this is hilarious, right? We'll get the verse in a minute, but it says it's written in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, which means nothing to you, but I found out it means the 29th of August, 520 BC. Isn't that hilarious? So this is the 29th of August, 520 BC. They can tell you that specifically. So this is like quite a few years ago. And what's happened? What's happened is that God's people, remember, they all got taken off to Babylon, where Boney M wrote that song. Remember that? By the rivers of... And so they all got taken off to Babylon because they kept like sticking a fist in God's face, saying, we don't care what you want, we want to do what we want. God said, all right, go on a bit of a... Not no frills all day to Babylon. It wasn't very pleasant. And they come back. And when they come back, their whole country's been trashed, absolutely smashed to bits, including the temple, which is God's house. And like, it's just a bit of a sort of like a bit of a sad situation. And the name of the guy who took them to Babylon was a guy called King Nebuchadnezzar, which is just one of those crazy names. Did any of you have those little tags in your pants when you were a kid? And you remember putting your name tag in your pants? Imagine King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon's tag, man. He's probably got some like sort of boxing thing around his waist, King Nebuchadnezzar. His mother's there sewing all day, every day, just putting his name in the back of his pants. But there we go. But like, so King Nebuchadnezzar, take them off. They come home. Everything's trashed, including the temple. Now, here's what we're going to do. I was tempted to preach the entire book of Haggai. It's only two chapters long, but I'm doing half. So you can see you've been to half a book of the Bible tonight, which is great. I'm going to read the full first chapter. Then I'm going to go on a rant. I've got a one-point sermon tonight. There it was. Okay, so one-point sermon, and I'm going to read it to you now. It should come up on the screen, maybe, hopefully. There you go. And I call it this New Year's revolution. Because I don't know what you guys want for this year, but I want this year to be just more full on than last year. I had a great year last year. Some fantastic things happened. My son was born, my firstborn son, Josiah. Absolute ledge. I love him. You know, I planted a church. I didn't break any bones. It was a good year for me. But like, I want 2009 to be even better. So New Year's revolution. Here we go, from the book of Haggai, chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, 29th of August, 520 BC, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel. And if you give your child that name, I'll give you a tenner. The son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. That's what God said. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a good time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills, bring wood, and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I've called for a drought on the land, and the hills, and on the grain, and the new wine, the oil, and what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai the messenger of the Lord spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I'm with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, and the spirits of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. That was the 21st of September, 520 BC. So this is what's happened. I'm just going to want to rant now. Because let me tell you, I've got a one-point sermon, and this is it, on that slide there. This year, if you want to have a revolutionary 2009, if you want your year to be better than any other year, prioritize the presence of God. We've sung about it so much tonight. You got it on your jolly walls. I couldn't have asked for a better like light show. I've never had a light show where like one of the big words I'm using is on the wall. I mean, I knew this thing was called presence, but Greg has pulled out all the stops. Look at the walls, man. You need to prioritize. I need to prioritize the presence of God if I'm going to have the year that God wants me to have. And I crave that. I crave that. Let me just give you the history of the world. Let me crack on. History of the world. Here we go. I'm trying to do it in one breath. Might go a little bit longer. God made the world. He made people to love him and to love and for him to love them. But they said, no, thank you. They stuck a fist in God's face. They brought sin into the world. Sin meant separation from God. The rest of the Bible, apart from the first three chapters, is pretty depressing, really. We say no. God says, yo, I love you. I don't care. But anyway, God says, well, I want something to do with you. I love you more than that. And he keeps bringing, you know, people to say, God loves you. God wants something to do with you. He brings in this thing called the temple. The temple is where sacrifices were made so our sin could get taken care of, so the sin that cuts us off from God gets taken out of the equation and we can have a relationship with God. It's a great place. The temple is a place of healing. It's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of mission. It's a place of worship. It's a place of justice. It's a jolly good place. That's why they call this the city temple, because the temple's a jolly good place to be. So next time you say, let's go down the temple on Sunday night, now you know where you're going. The place where we worship God, we pray to God, we hear God's word preached, where we remember the sacrifice of God in Jesus, where people get healed, where good stuff happens in the name of the Lord. That's what the temple was. But what happened is when they got took off to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar and all that, right? They come back, someone, some joker, has smashed up the temple and burnt it. And they come back and now there's nowhere for sacrifices for sins to be made. Nowhere for people to pray. God's manifest, you know, the place where God would bring his manifest presence was gone. Before Jesus Christ came in the New Testament, that meant there was no presence. So they come back, the remnant, as they call it, there's not as many of them, but they come back and look at what they do. They come back and they say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. They say, do you know what? I know kind of church is important. I know God wants something to do with us, but it's not that important, really. I mean, we got more important fish to fry. We got to do more important things than hang out with God. I know that, you know, I know that back in Moses' day and all that, you know, people were, were banging on about the presence of God, but we've had a rough life. We've been in Babylon. We've got things we need to take care of. And then if we've got a bit of time, if we can fit God into our social lives, into our agenda, then maybe, just maybe, we'll find time to squeeze a bit of God's presence in after neighbors. And that's what they say. And this is what God says. And he tells them straight. Because let me tell you the great thing with God. He tells us straight. So guys, let me, on behalf of God, tell you straight. This is what God says. God says, these people say the time hasn't yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then he says this. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Let me tell you what's gone wrong in this nation. And therefore, I believe we can apply it to this nation. They've rejected God, and they've replaced him with a load of bunk. That's what's happened. They've said, we don't want the presence of God. Sin number one. Then they said, we're not going to build him a house. We're going to build us a house, a paneled house, a flashy pad. We're going to use all our skills, all our energy, all our money, and we're going to use it to bling ourselves up and make sure that we're looked after, because that's what our priority is. And my friends, that is still 21st century Wales. That is the mantra of almost every single person that walks the streets of Cardiff right now. I'm going to build my house. I'm going to panel my house. I'm going to look after myself. I'm getting my education. I'm getting my girlfriend. I'm getting my car. I'm going to make sure that I get the bathroom I want in my house. I'm going to make sure that I get this. I'm going to make sure I've got this jewelry, these clothes. I'm going to make sure I go to these places, hang out with these people. Then maybe I'll fit a bit of God in if I can find time. But to be honest with you, what is our priority as we go into 2009? That's not a question. I know we'd all say, oh, it's the Lord. But come on, guys. I'm a human as well. All right? So can we just like not like say, yeah, that's me, or yeah, that's not me? Let's just have a little bit of quiet time as I'm speaking tonight. Lord, is there anything of that in me? Is there anything in me that wants to panel my own house rather than stick a plank in your house? Is there anything in me that says I care about building my little empire more than I care about spending time with you? A precious, awesome, mighty, holy, gracious God, who just wants more than anything to spend time with you. There's a plank in your hand tonight. As you go into 2009, you have a panel of wood. They could have paneled their own houses, or they could have paneled the house of God. What are you going to put your hand to this year? Are you going to be about building your house, or are you going to be about building God's house? Are you going to cultivate your own glory, or are you going to enjoy the glory of God? Are you going to practice the presence of God? Are you going to say, whatever is in my hand, whatever gifts you've given me, whatever skills you've given me, whatever stuff you've given me, that's for you, God. That's for you. Guys, what this world doesn't need is cooler Christians. It doesn't need flashier services. I love the lights on the wall, but if that's all we've got, we ain't got jack. What this nation needs, what this city needs, is Christians who say, sack my life, sack what I'm about, sack my flesh, sack my selfish desires. I'm about you, God. Just take me. You hung on a cross for me. I want to take my cross up for you. I'm not going to panel my house. I'm putting my hammer down. I'm picking up a holy hammer, if there is one. I want to buy one if there is. Say, I got a holy hammer. I'm going to go and stick some balls on the house of God, and I'm going to build a place in my life where I can enjoy the presence of God, where he can enjoy my worship. Guys, we need to prioritize the presence of God, because in the presence of God, mad stuff happens. Mad good, not mad bad. Don't you want to see people getting like just totally set free from addiction, from the pain of the past, from guilt and regret? Don't you want to see people healed physically, emotionally, spiritually? Don't you want to see people dancing and singing and weeping good tears? That stuff happens when we prioritize the presence of God. But while we are just about building our own little empire and our own little house, look at what happens. Check it out. Let me go now. Here we go. God says, you've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Guys, if you want to live for yourself, then yourself is all you got. The great thing about cultivating the presence of God in your life and in your church means that you have what this world is gagging for. Satisfaction, grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, hope, peace, joy, and other such things which are great. You want to say, I'm going to build my house? You can have everything, and you got nothing. Look at what he says. He doesn't say you haven't got anything. He says you get your wages, and they just disappear with nothing to show for them. You drink, you eat. You're just never satisfied. You put the clothes on, you get the latest clothes, and it's never enough. They don't do what they're meant to do. Is there anyone here tonight where, if you're not a Christian, or even if you are, that's actually your experience? I'm just sick of banging my head against a brick wall of just despair, discomfort, dissatisfaction, all that stuff. If that's you, you need to get into the presence of God. You need to do what God then commands his people to do. Man, I'm drinking like a camel. Excuse me, songs are great. I love coming to City Temple, but like it's a nightmare when I got to preach because they always sing Blinders You. They're not the sort of songs you can sort of like just go, fa, fa, fa. Is it? Like you just got to jolly go for it. I went for it. I'm patched. God bless you, Paul. You're killing me. Okay, here we go. Right then. In a good way. Yeah, thank you, mate. See, that's active repentance. God bless you. I'm joking. We wouldn't have any of our songs, would we? It's fantastic. So this is what God says. He says, go up the hill and bring wood and build a house. Why? That I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified. Guys, this might come as a wake-up call to some of you, but you're not on this planet to glorify yourself. And on the X Factor, we all want to be the ones that are glorifying ourselves. Check me out. Check out my talent. Check out my looks. Check out my voice. Why doesn't everyone just love me? Because we're not here for our glory. We're not here for our praise. We were created to worship him, to tell him how great he is. You know, God's the only person in the existence of eternity who's got rights to have tickets on himself and think he's great. Because he's the only one who is. And our job is just to sort of tell him that and enjoy his grace in the process. That literally is what we're on the planet to do. So if you've come here tonight saying, I don't know what I'm on this planet to do, just praise God. Love him, and you could love him because he loved you first. When you get into the presence of God, you realize he loved you all along. When you get into the presence of God, you realize what he's really like. It's like, how could I ever think I was great? Look at me. I'm a duffer, but you're immense. That's what it's about. So that's what God said. He says, look, he says, face up to the fact that if you don't want my presence, you might as well hop it. Face up and then get up and go and do something about it. He says, go up the mountain, grab some wood, and get into my presence. What have you got to do? What is God calling you tonight to do, to actively do, to cultivate the presence of God in your life? Is there anything which stops you spending time with your God? Is there any sin which you habitually cannot get past? And some of you have got to go and go home, buy a baseball bat, and smash your computer up, straight up. I'm serious. I really love doing stuff like that. I've done it. Some of you got to go and burn your DVDs. Some of you got to go and break up in a relationship because that person is just dragging you away from God. I'm serious. You've got to get up and get out and do what it takes because nothing is more important for you than being in the presence of Almighty God. Because in the presence of God, you're forgiven. In the presence of God, there's healing. In the presence of God, there is joy and there is peace and there is hope. And just that's what you get. And it's better than websites. And it's better than flashy cars. It's better than Pimp My Ride. It's better than MTV. It's better than clothes. Don't walk around naked and say, I'm not wearing clothes because God's better. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what I'm saying? Guys, God basically said to these people, if you want to know what is wrong in you and in your society, you need to face up to the fact that you're not in my presence for whatever reason. You need to get up and get out and do what it takes to cultivate my presence in your life. I believe that when a handful of Christians are actually, tangibly, regularly, passionately in the presence of God, big stuff happens from a small bunch of people. There's more than enough people in this room tonight to do massive things in this city if you let him have all of you. If you say, God, you are what matters. You know, last Christmas, my wife bought me this lush present. This is wallet, right? I've got that little chocolate thing in there just as a little sermon illustration. But this wallet's great. This is why I love this wallet, right? Because I get this little thing hanging out of it.
And I could put photographs of my family in there. You see that? Look, it's cool, isn't it? So I got pictures of, the current one is my wife, my daughter, and my dog. So if anyone wants to see my family, I got a little thing. But guys, here's the thing, right? When I'm away, if I'm out, if I'm sort of missing my family, I look at my little photos, and I got them on my phone as well, because it's all about phones these days, isn't it? Because you got like super megs. But like, this is still quite cool. I look at it, and it's great. Because it reminds me, it shows me, there's my wife, I love her, she married me. Nutter, but she did. There's my little girl, she's kissing my dog. That's just wrong. But if I was to say to you that this is what my marriage was all about, a photograph. I've never laughed with this photograph. I've never talked to this photograph. I've never spent quality time with this photograph. I've never prayed with this photograph. This photograph has never helped me through any tough times. This photograph has never hugged me when I was weeping because I was confused and I didn't know what to do next. It's the lady in the photograph that did that, my wife. And my concern for us as Christians in the West today is that we are happy to have the photograph of God. I'm a Christian. Look, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Me and God are down. Look, I got a kind of a sort of life-size replica of my name in the Book of Life. It's all good. Like, me and God are cool. You know, I got saved. I got baptized. And that's enough. And all along, God's saying, it's not two-dimensional that I have got for you. I have got eternal four-dimensional. I have got relationship for you. I didn't send my son so you could wear a badge. I didn't let him be crucified so you can say, I got the name. You know, Jesus came into this world so that we can enjoy the presence of God forever. Because after this bit with the temple, it went on to Jesus not long after. Remember in John chapter 2, Jesus says, destroy this temple. Talking about himself. In 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Because there's a new temple. Jesus Christ was creating a new way for us to have the presence of God. And then the Apostle Paul says, after Christ has died, taken every last bit of our sin away, risen, gone back to heaven to prepare a place, why? So we can be with him, because he enjoys our presence. And then the Apostle Paul says, our body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. I've heard so many nutters just say, that's why you shouldn't have piercings and tattoos. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that God wants to be with you. Look at the cross, man. Look at the place where sin gets taken care of. Look at the place of grace and mercy. Look, there's not one of you in this room is beyond the presence of God if you would just come to the cross. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but. I love that but. In my church, I am going to preach a series called The Best Buts in the Bible. And that's, you know, the way, honest, because I can, because I'm the pastor, it's great. Straight up. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's so many buts. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not in the Bible. But it's kind of, you know, that actual thing. But it's a theme from the Bible. You get forgiveness. It's not one of you. It's beyond the presence of God. And what I love is that God said, get up, get out, and build a jolly house for my praise and my glory. You get in the habit of making much of me. And Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to who? To myself. Why do you want it to yourself, Jesus? Because I love them. I want to be with you. I enjoy people loving me. We love because he first loved us. Guys, it's the whole picture of the Bible here. All in Haggai chapter 1. That's what it's all about. So what happens? I digress. That's a mint. Did you put that there? Ministry time at the end. Fantastic. Yeah, okay. All right. I like that. It's classy because trust me, people might be going down under my breath and it's not it's not good. All right. Sorry. I seriously digress. Let's wrap this up, the third point in my one-point sermon. Okay. This is what happens. God says, sort it out. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And listen to this. And the people feared the Lord. Ready for this? My favorite part in the whole thing. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. None of you need anything more than that for 2009. Than for God, the voice of God, to be ringing in your ears as you go out. By the way, ears are Valley's ears, right? I got ears. My two-year-old daughter rebuked me about 6 months ago for saying ears. She said, no, Daddy, they're ears. I said, actually, we've moved to Pontypool now. They're ears. I win. Okay. But the voice of God ringing in your ears saying, I am with you. Some of you are going to go to family situations after this service where they're not praising God, where it's difficult, where they don't care that you've been to church tonight. I want you to go with the voice of God saying, I'm with you. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow where people don't give a stuff about the gospel. They're godless. They're carnal. They just chat about all sorts. They look at all sorts. They're just, and you struggle just being around them because of the stuff which is just like bombarding you. I want you to go with the voice of God saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Some of you have got marriage situations. I want you to know that God is with you. Some of you have got parent situations. I want you to know that God is with you. Some of you have got school situations where no one loves Jesus, where there's no Christian union, where you're a freak because you got a Bible. And God says, I'm with you. That's what the whole point of the Bible and history is about. God saying, I want to be with you. That's why Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us as a little babber. And he grows up, he hangs on the cross to take our sin away, he rises again, he goes back to heaven. But just before he goes back, what's the last thing he says to his boys? And lo, I am with you always. I'm with you. Guys, you're not in this world alone if you are with Jesus. My big thought, my big picture for you tonight is this. You need to prioritize the presence of God. Do you know your God deeply, intimately? Do you get into your Bible and just hear him? Do you spend time in prayer and just know he's listening? Have you got that going on? If you haven't, I want tonight to be a changing point, because I know how easy it is to play religion. I know, especially if you've grown up in church, I know when to raise my hands. I know when to sort of like say, amen. I know when to do all the stuff which you're meant to do to look like you're a Christian. But are you enjoying the full presence of God tonight? And if you're not, you need to sort it out. You need to sort it out. You need to do business with God tonight. Some of you have got sin you need to bring to the foot of the cross tonight. Some of you messing around with your boyfriends and girlfriends, and you're wondering why you can't hear God's voice anymore. You've got to bring that and deal with that before God. Some of you have got money situations where, you know, where things are getting stressful and you're not letting God have that. Some of you are letting the past stop you moving into the future with grace and confidence. And it's time for no more excuses. Stop paneling your own house with your own luxuries and your own cares and your own situation and your own glory. Step away from your house, whatever state your house is in. Turn to the Lord, which is what repentance means, to turn to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I've been living as if you were with me, but we both know you haven't been with me. We both know that what I've been doing isn't full Christianity. We know that I don't know you as deeply as I want to or I should. But I believe the word of God. I want to just read this thing as I close. Acts chapter 3. Remember that great story? Peter and John went to pray. They met a layman on the way. You know what I mean? And it gets confusing when you're a kid, right? He asks for arms and held out his palms. How did he hold out his palms if he hasn't got any arms? Huh? Let me just sing that again and see if you're with me. Peter and John went to pray. They met a layman on the way. He asked for arms and held out his palms. You can't do it, man. I was a kid and I was like, I didn't want to be the thick one in Sunday school. I just don't get how it works. And then you grow up and you get an education and get sophisticated like me. And you realize that this arms has got an L. Alms. As opposed to arms. Like Cardiff Arms Park. This is alms, charity. So he was asking for cash. But this is what happens, just to sum it up. He's been crippled 40 years. Peter and John walk past. Basically, he gets healed. Awesome. Do you know why? Because Peter and John have been enjoying the presence of God in Pentecost. Doesn't get more fiery than that. Whoa, a bit of Pentecost roasting, and then look what happens. People's getting healed. Funny that, isn't it? And this guy walking and leaping and praising God. You know the song? He doesn't walk and leap down the pub and go, look at me, boys. He walks and leaps into the temple. The place where he'd been sat in the doorway to, he'd been this close for so long. and never been in the presence of God. And he danced into the presence of God. And I love this because people are saying, right, what's going on? And he doesn't really know. He's just buzzing. He's got his legs back. So they start asking Peter, what's going on? And this is what Peter preaches, and it's fantastic. He preaches a really immense, awesome sermon. And then he says this. Verse 19 of chapter 3 in Acts. He tells them, repent and turn again. Listen to this. That your sins may be blotted out. That times of refreshing may come. From where? From the presence of the Lord. Guys, even if you're a Christian, you can still repent. Repentance isn't a buzzword for people that don't know Jesus. It's something I've got to do every day. It's a conscious decision. Because repentance doesn't necessarily mean turning from bad stuff. It means turning to God. And every day when I get out of bed, I have the choice. Do I turn to God and live the day with him? Or do I turn my own way and panel my own house? And guys, I want to say to you, that if you choose tonight, if you're not a Christian, we'll have people down here to pray with you and help you become a Christian. Where you just say, do you know what? I'm sick of living my life. Sick of paneling my own house. My house is bunk. My life is bunk. I want God. He sounds awesome. And I just see that the stuff in my life is wrong anyway. I need to go to his cross. I need to get forgiveness. I need to get grace. I need to get saved. And some of you are Christians, and you still know that you've got to turn to him. And you've got to give some stuff to him. You've got to just enjoy him again. You've got to embrace who he is and what he is for you again. And times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. I want a more refreshing 2009 than I had a 2008. Because I know I had a good year. I didn't majorly do anything bad. I can't say this was a dreadful year because, but I do know this. I believe there's a dimension of knowing the presence of God in his fullness that I haven't got to yet. And I want it. I want to be the best Christian I can be. I want to be the best child of God that I can be. I want to know joy and grace and mercy and forgiveness and love and life to a depth that I've never known it before. And if that's you, I want to challenge you. Like, we're going to have, I think the band are going to come up and play some more songs now. I got are we having another song? Is that right? A response song, I think we call them. They're slightly, they're generally less rocking than the songs earlier. Much more emotive, right? Yeah, well, I think we're going to have one of them. But like, that's not the point, right? The point is this. We're going to have two appeals, if you like, and it's going to be this. If you've never become a Christian before, if you don't know Jesus, but you know that you need what I've been talking about tonight, you believe that this God wants something to do with you despite your sin, that he can deal with that. I want you to come down this side of the stage. If you want to be a Christian, we're going to pray with you. We're going to lead you to the cross where sins get taken away, where your name gets written in the book of life, where your life changes, full stop. That's what we're going to do this side. And this side, I want to crush a people, because not just for the youth, but for all of you. If you want 2009 to be a year of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, don't be too proud. Don't be too stubborn. Just come down. And guys, if people come down this side, it doesn't mean it's because they've been doing loads of bad stuff. This isn't like the sort of like, I've got secret sins, I need to repent corner, although it might be. This is just I want to be in the presence of God in 2009 corner. This is, I want God to use me for his glory and for his gospel corner. I want to be in the presence of God throughout this year to a degree that I've never known before, corner. If that's you, come down here. And if you haven't got enough prayer, people, pray with each other. That's what church families do, yeah? That's what church families do, okay? So if you want to become a Christian, come here. I'd love to pray with you. I love seeing people get saved. Best thing ever. Best thing ever. If that's not you, you just want to just say, God, I want to know your presence deeper. Just come down, let's pray with each other. Let's start this year as a statement of intent. God, I want to know you because you want to know me. You died to make it happen. You rose so it can happen. Your Holy Spirit is real. He's moving tonight. Amen.